Welcome back to the Stage of History on the 1UP Network. It's December the 1st with the 1UP Yours podcast. That was commemorative for Shane, who's been upstairs losing a little money.
Yeah, I was playing Soulcalibur 3 against my sidekick Jason, and I lost $60 to him. I'm all pissed.
Are you actually going to pay him, though?
Like, we're playing again tomorrow, but earlier this week...
The actual answer is no, he's not going to pay him.
Well, but I won $60 from Shoe the other day, and that was awesome.
But Shoe will pay you.
Well, no, I owed Shoe $400, so I won $60 of that back, so it's all good.
So you're down $400 total.
I went through a phase with Soul Calibur 2 where I was playing Double or Nothing with Shoe where it got really silly.
Well, that's Jason.
Millions of dollars or just hundreds?
How come you never come play Soul Calibur 3 with me, Jason?
That Karate Kid song. Right.
I'll come play, yeah. But I have bad memories of, he plays as
Astaroth. Yeah.
Which is just cheap.
Yeah, I agree.
I kind of agree. Shane, you were so impressed. Like, the first time you were like, wow, you can play Soul Calibur 2.
I really didn't think you would be able to play any game, let alone a serious fighting game.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Is that an age joke?
No.
You aged this week, right?
He's in my generation now.
Shit, I don't want to talk.
He's in my generation.
Shane was 30 this week.
God.
Wow.
Damn.
It's going to be like 4 years till I'm that old.
Maybe someone on the farm.
And then you'll be mid-30s.
Enjoy your youth.
He's going to be 30-something, like that old TV show.
But Jay-Z said 30's a new 20?
That's right.
And he's 38. He's
and then you were dissing on the new Jay-Z, like with your whole clips thing
whatever. Let's get this on the road.
We do have a show to do here. We have the foursome. John's here with us, of course.
Hello.
Luke.
Yo.
The gang's,
Shane,
all, gang's all here.
Skips on the Wheels of Steel.
Back from Wisconsin.
And fuck November. Seriously.
It's over.
November's over.
It's done.
Thank God.
It's fucked.
In the can. All over.
That's where she goes afterwards normally anyway.
Oh.
And by the time you get to the end of this show, here's what you'll have heard. In the opening up here today, we've got, well, you know, we're kind of doing this thing a little differently today. We're going to talk the reader segment, most of the first segment. We're going to go through a lot of the, we're going to finish up the PS3 and Wii stuff, because basically the PS3 thing, I'm so tired of watching you guys argue about whether or not it's worth $600. I could cry. The Wii stuff, though, is kind of cool. A lot of people play on their Wiis. Second segment, we're going to do a new kind of Whatcha Been Playing. We're going to do the Whatcha Been Playing Gamer Edition, which is what we're playing, but not necessarily what we're playing for work.
Just what you were playing for fun.
Just what the fuck we're playing, yeah. Right? You know?
There's some other stuff in there.
Some
other little stories.
Yeah.
So we're just going to kind of keep that section real. And then news. How big is that news stack?
The news stack is so big that I could roll it up and bruise a child's head with it.
I like that one. It's nice.
One of the earlier jokes we tried was going to be a joke about me beating a woman with it.
Yeah,
we scratched that.
Scratch that joke.
We're not making that one. Yeah,
but we're still referencing it so that you could fantasize about what the joke would have been.
It would have been hilarious.
It was really good.
It was.
Pick your offensive Luke joke.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, pick your offensive Luke joke. Yeah. All right, so should we just start off digging into, like, these PS3 things? All right, so look.
Hey, before we start.
Yes.
Two things from last week's show.
Two things.
One, the game we were talking about that Viva Pinata is like was Startopia.
Right. We had definitely hit that today, and that is absolutely the game. I'm positive of it. I saw the box cover on the link on Wikipedia, and that was such a good game. I remember playing that game so much.
And the other thing is, last week I said that Rainbow Six was called that because there were 6 people in it, and obviously that's not the case. I was very wrong. I was drunk and high and...
Well, we got high before last week's show.
Yeah, don't you remember?
You don't remember that?
Yeah, you were.
I picked the wrong week to let Mark take my spot.
Yeah.
Mark did a damn good job, too.
But Rainbow Six,
watch
called
back.
That because the dude was... Anyway, it's much more complicated than that. But anyway, yes, I know that I said the wrong thing.
By the way, today's show brought to you by... Knob Creek,
Kentucky Straight Bourbon.
Small batch, 9 years aged.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff. I'm pleased.
I'll bring in the really good stuff next week, maybe. We'll see.
The what? The stag?
Stag. We'll see.
That Man. Shit's almost too much.
No, that's not. No, let him bring it.
It's just right.
Let him bring it.
Yeah, it's good. All right,
so PS3, you guys, there are at least like a couple pages. If you're looking at that thread, pages 8 and 9 actually have some people talking about the PS3 as opposed to just arguing whether they're worth it or not. Gray Fox Tastical, he really, really, really liked Resistance. He obviously really likes the system, too, because he says he'd do it if it was possible.
It's pretty sexy looking.
If you're into something huge, or if you're into whaling.
Taking one for the team?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Shane does need to go slump busting sometimes. He's turning 30.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
It's a 30-year slump.
The funny thing is, after all that, he's like, granted, Genji, meh, Ridge Racer 7, fun, Gundam, it's like Diet Mountain Dew if citrus was poop.
What the fuck?
That's a beautiful...
I'm not even sure what that means.
I don't know, but it is brilliant.
I knew you'd like that one, Luke. That was just for you.
I hope he didn't buy Gundam.
I hope that was from his, like, Netflix.
Like, its Metascore. Its Metascore is like a 2. Like, how would anybody buy that?
And the other guy who commented about Gundam and what it did or didn't do to his friend, I'm leaving that one alone because he shouldn't joke about it.
Speaking of my birthday, yesterday my friend Ted, for my birthday, gave me Gundam for PS3.
No shit. Yeah. Oh, that is such a Ted move.
Thanks, Ted.
Way to go,
thanks.
Ted.
Not so much.
Not so much, Ted.
Savage Ace had a really long post.
You sure he's your friend?
I don't know.
Oh.
I had a really good idea, actually, for your birthday, and they ended up not being able to do it. But what I was going to do was I talked with, back at Sony's Gamers Day, I talked with the Genji producer, and they were going to send a Joe's Crab Shack menu. Yeah. Over, and it was going to be, happy birthday, Shane. Thanks for all the support. And then you gave their game a 6. and they admitted,
for massive damage.
They admittedly cooled to the idea.
No hard feelings, Kyle.
All right, so Savage Ace did a really long post. If you want to, like, really dig in, you can read through his deal. But a couple of things he pointed out. He was into the tilt function. Works for some games like Tony Hawk, but it needed tweaking for other. Then the other thing, and he also noted that, as we kind of were digging into in our What's Wrong with the Consoles feature, that the controller, he's having a problem with it inputting, you know, sometimes the camera going out of control.
Well, like the Bluetooth thing, it's pretty well documented now. And one of them had a story about it.
Well, one of them's going to have a story about it when Sony Japan gets back to us, because we're trying to be fair.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so he kind of dismissed it. And all I'll say is, since people get mad at us saying we're all 360 fans, my WaveBird never had that problem.
WaveBird isn't Bluetooth.
And neither is a 360 controller. Your controller is not where you want shit flying around all over the place.
No, 360 is not Bluetooth.
Garnet's, no, it's 2.4 gigahertz.
Yeah, Garnet's right. I know that Skip was making skeptical faces. Garnet's right this time.
Garnet's right?
Garnet is right.
Who knew?
It's fucking going to be a weird show today.
A new age dawns.
It must be something about Shane being 30.
Have I lost my edge?
Yes.
Old guy in his house.
Thanks. The knife has dulled.
We're all dull when we pass 30. It's okay. He'll go next.
I was there your 30th birthday. I remember that.
Yeah.
Several people called out.
How long ago was that?
Not that long ago.
You guys, I'm losing him, Skip.
Okay,
I'm losing him.
Go on, Garnet.
Several people called out Mark. So you need to come to your boy's defense. Because Mark, did you listen to the show last week? No, you didn't, did you?
No, not so much. Yeah,
neither did Skip. Yes.
Mark did. I was playing Zelda. Mark did a spot-on impression.
I heard about this. I heard he wasn't on purpose, and then he realized, like, after the fact that he said something like with a cadence kind of like...
Yeah, it was your cadence exactly.
With a cadence kind of like... Like, I always do that. Cadence kind of like me.
There was a quote from some guy that was talking on Slate that was talking about a magical fish, and Mark's response was...
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
That fish... Not magical.
By the way, that fish, not magical.
Wow.
Excellent.
I'm surrounded by 3 Shanes.
You could be so lucky.
This is my worst nightmare.
So anyway, Mick was one of the people who called him out. He said he's really enjoying his PS3. He said, I'm not sure what Mark's experience is. Left analog stick definitely works as a mouse in the online thing. He doesn't understand what happened with the setup process because it only took him 20 minutes to get stuff set up, so... Anyway, whatever. He is disappointed in the Resistance multiplayer. T8755MB whatever.
Is that a robot?
Is that your password and you just fucking accidentally typed it as your username and we're like,
check out,
shit, I better keep this. Like, go to my blog at T11734BD.
Wells Fargo Online.com and see if we can figure out, you know.
It's case sensitive, too.
God. Anyway, he gave the PS3 a 5 out of 10, so there you have that.
After all that,
what's the point of this segment again?
His username was longer than his actual comment. Thanks.
I like also Resistance Fall of Man. He gave it an 8. 2+ years in development and not a AAA game. Hey, I gave it an 8.5, buddy. So you gave it an 8. You're definitely going to get flamed.
Hey, I got a question. How many years of Perfect Dark Zero in development? About 8?
I don't know. I didn't give that. By the way,
we're going to talk about it in news, though.
Okay.
Someone blamed the entire 360 launch goggles on Che, which was outstanding. The entire one-up launch goggles. All Che's fault. He's gone.
I saw a thread on a message board that it was about, the post was about how to go from gaming journalist to gaming, to game industry person. And one of the posters said something like, all you've got to do is give every Microsoft game 4 points too high like
Che
did.
Che can't bear that full responsibility. Ryan O'Donnell's still living down his 10 for PGR.
Oh,
he defended it at the office the other day.
There's no living that down. Come on.
I give the game an 8. That's the right score.
At best.
Yeah, I think an 8 is a
Look at that. We agree. Yeah.
All right. So anyway.
Magical
anyway,
fish.
The Bruce Leroy. That's a great name. He liked the air fuel grenade and resistance.
Well, what's this thing about?
You just like reading people's names now?
Yeah, well, the names are better than the PS3 comments.
Do you have an IV?
Yes. Anyway,
are you going to drive this segment, John?
Bruce Leroy didn't troll anything?
He did troll. He trolled Mark. He was all over Mark. He said, hey, babe, he says, actually, you know, you just ought to use the process you've done for your cell phone, electric razor, and other devices, and I think you'll be fine. Charge it. Then use your controller for 7 hours.
We have a couple of new trolls on the board, I noticed. There's him. He seems to be trolling a lot. And the chef, who's my new favorite troll.
Well, welcome, new trolls.
Welcome.
Welcome, new trolls.
Estimated lifespan, 45 minutes after the show's
the
over
chef,
today.
I would love it if everyone on the show was replaced with people who actually enjoy playing games and not just ranting about how mediocre and flawed they all are.
I'm sorry. Did you miss the 14 hand jobs we doled out to Viva Pinata over the last 3 weeks? Or the combined fucking suck that Violet Princess? Steve, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well, the best comment I read was after Mark replaced me last week because I was too busy, he was like, oh, Mark's great. I wish they'd replace Shane with him permanently. And then some other poster was like, Team Xbox already has a podcast.
Oh, no.
That was pretty clever.
Word.
The chef also said, don't make dumbass generalizations that something takes over an hour to complete when you're just plain too stupid to do it any faster, which was a reference to the PS3 setup thing that we
That's awesome. We got some
week.
Stupid people in the Wii thread, actually, which is fantastic.
I can't imagine them, stupid
actually?
Nintendo fans.
And one of them, you're going to love this, one of them's beige.
Oh.
I shit you
we'll,
not.
We'll get to him later.
One of them is beige.
I'll deal with him later.
So anyway, at least people are playing the Wii. This is like way more thicker. So
beige,
so
actually one of the writers from One of News. Sorry, Mark.
So
get him, Garnet.
Sir Oros, he's confused because the Wii, on the one hand, is a success to him, and on the other hand, it's a failure. He says they have no clue about online. He gets upset about all the functional problems, and then he says, but he has fun with it. So, you know, I'm kind of upset about these people who are, like, worried about the technical part. The whole point of Wii is to have fun with it. Don't worry about the technical part. But, Luke, he does have a message for you.
God.
He says, by the way, Luke may cock punch me in real life if we ever meet because I bought Donkey Kong for $5. What the fuck was I thinking? I wasn't even drunk at the time.
Who is this?
The sir.
You
sir,
threw him on the floor
sir,
already?
Is he near San Francisco?
Sir Oros?
All right. I'm fucking adding you to the list of cock punches.
I can imagine breaking down and getting that, even though it isn't the arcade version. It's kind
You'll
of
have plenty of time. He's apparently getting divorced, too.
Yeah.
He's getting divorced because...
That's enough of a cock punch.
His wife said that he can't play Twilight Princess until Christmas, so he was like, fuck it, I'm getting divorced.
Good man.
That's dedication.
That is. Just deny the deep dick.
Our good friend Fiend.
You're all about the sex today, huh?
You know how it is when you haven't had it in a while.
Oh.
Hand jobs, fucking and sucking. Anything else you want to throw out there?
There'll be an anal joke in the second segment,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Excellent.
You going to go taters deep in something?
Jesus.
Says you fucking jangle the coin purse.
I can hear the slapping coming.
The MPAA just changed the music. Okay.
So our good
this
friend,
podcast is rated explicit.
Our good friend Fiend Wager. Fiend Wager, I got that down now.
That's all right.
You listened to last week's show as well, huh?
He says that apparently his mom couldn't get it. She couldn't find the B button.
It's below the controller.
She couldn't find the B button, Luke.
Darn it, it's a C button.
Anyway, he says, before you call my mom an idiot...
Took a second. It's like you...
I know, it's a terrific joke grenade.
Yeah, it has a proximity mind.
It was a little,
I said it and forget
it. Was actually
it.
A little subtle for Luke, I felt.
It was. But, yeah.
It was quite subtle for him. Yeah. It was well done. I was wondering if he was going to get the
slip. She couldn't find the B button.
She couldn't figure it out. And he says, before you call my mom an idiot, she's not... by the way, you're wrong. Think about it. It's not as complicated. It's just as complicated. He says it's as complicated as other consoles. I don't know. I mean,
What are we talking about?
No, but like if you're playing Wii Sports, it shows you in a diagram on screen where the B button is. Tell his mom to like look at the screen, all right?
Maybe she's blind.
Too bad.
And then I'm sad to report that video games are not the hobby for you.
Anyway, so he followed up in another post after people were giving him a hard time about it. He says, the problem was that it didn't interest her enough to give a damn. I don't know. What do you think?
Eh.
Mendo says, my whole non-game-playing family played Wii Sports throughout Thanksgiving week while I waited for them to go to bed to play some Zelda, which is kind of a good point.
I've heard other reports of that. My friends over Thanksgiving talked about like getting their moms to play bowling, and apparently it's a big success among my friends and their families. It really did
work. What if you want to fucking play Zelda?
You play the after hours.
Exactly. So you wind up spending all night up. playing the hardcore games.
You haven't been getting much
sleep. This is the new belligerent model of Garnet that I'm not
yo,
used
what
to.
What happened to you, dude? What's up?
He's throwing papers aside like an angry Dave Letterman.
I wouldn't have brought in the Birdman if I knew it made angry Garnet.
You don't like Dave Letterman, Garnet?
Continue.
See? What do you know? He says, Mendo also says he's worried about continued third-party support for the Wii. So
you should be.
Everyone should
be.
Did
you play any of the Ubisoft games?
They're making another
the
one.
The good news is...
Sorry, John, just got you another phone call, didn't
Ubisoft were a little concerned that in the Holiday Buyer's Guide this year that four of the five games we said you had to avoid were Ubisoft games.
They did rush these things out. Hopefully, we see things like The Sims coming from EA, which looks like from the ground up, they thought about it for the Wii, and it looks like it's going to be good. And like companies like Konami are making a lot of games for Wii now. So in a year, it might be better. Wait and see.
You remember last week with McTucky, we were talking about the left-handed controls?
Yeah.
And by the way, not an issue, apparently. So apparently it was just strictly a Rayman thing with the way the...
Does Rayman make you hold the controller sideways? Is that why he was controlling and there was no upside-down version of
it? Well, what it is that all the instructions for the minigames are actually geared to being right-handed. So he has to remember to do them... With the controls reversed. They show you how to do it with the controls as if you were holding it right-handed, so he has to reverse stuff.
Why not just play the game the way the game tells you to play it?
Because he's not right-handed.
Who cares? I could do this with the nunchuck.
He doesn't have a
people
right
who
hand.
Are left-handed.
He has a fucking hook.
Just make sure you fucking fasten the wrist strap a little tighter. Fucking deal with it.
Hey,
dude.
On the subject of wrist strap, he does have one better, and I'm thinking I really don't want to know what he's wearing when he's playing his games because he says he told the punchline before he says he's nailed himself a few times in the middle of sword fights in Zelda.
Mark McDonald has a similar problem what I'm told
in the swimsuit area.
Mark coined that actually
the swimsuit area on that show. Is pretty funny.
So now we've come to Beige's very sad and long post.
What's he trying to prove with this?
I don't really know. He actually got his Zelda playing box.
That's what he called the Wii.
He did actually call it the Zelda playing box. He's kind of kiss up to the boss.
Well, you know how that when he hears what the boss has to say next segment, he might need to change his tune.
Anyway, he was bragging that he actually had two friends that could show up at his house, which...
He has friends?
We would never have guessed that part, at least. And anyway, so the problem is they spent 45...
Jesus Christ, Garnet!
What?
Go on.
They spent 45 minutes trying to get the Wii set up, and the...
Why did it take him 45 minutes to
the
Wii?
Every time I've taken a Wii to, a different place to plug it in...
It takes, 1 minute. I move it between my TV and the TV in my living room, constantly. It takes literally, 15 seconds.
So, by the way, you have to plug the sensor bar in.
Yeah, and?
You have to plug it in for it to work.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sorry, Beige. That really didn't improve your IQ rating.
Didn't
on the
he,
like, board.
Snake King?
Are we getting to that, or is that now?
There was a separate thing where he wrote a very long thing about Sneak King. And
he did write it, over Zelda. Hello.
Well, yeah, so what does he say, John?
Well, the sort of summary, I don't have the whole thing printed out, but he said it's a genuine B-movie game, something that was created from the get-go with the understanding that it was going to be crappy camp and it revels in its own crappiness, and then went on and on and on about
that. That doesn't make it good. That doesn't make it fun to play. I played Sneak King the other day because I found my roommate had been playing it, and I was like, what's this all about? And it is garbage. It's funny for about 2 minutes.
Greg was playing it?
Yeah, to get achievements. We already had this discussion on the EGM podcast. But so it's fun for 2 minutes, but there's nothing there. It's incredibly repetitive. There's almost no gameplay. It's shitty. It has bad graphics. It's no fun. It is a terrible game.
So Das Product also wrote a long thing about Sneak King, and he said that, hey, I could really go for a croissant sandwich right now. And he was contemplating getting up and walking to the nearest Burger King to get one, which is almost a mile away. And then he realized what the game was doing, and he broke free of its mind game. So,
and this is what happens when you're smoking the blunts while playing.
Well, my whole argument against these Burger King games is they're commercials, and they're not very good, and they should be free, and they should also be Xbox Live Arcade games. That's my argument
right
there.
$4 disc-based
games. They should
be
free. They should be Xbox Live Arcade.
You don't like the art?
But what it has done is got a lot of Xbox owners into Burger King for the first time in a long time from what the message board
seems. The food is delicious.
Are you kidding me? I'm just taking a break from Rainbow Six Vegas
to go get me the Snake King games real quick.
Well, if you normally go to In-N-Out, I mean, it's slumming it to go to Burger King, right?
Look, only us Californians and a select Arizona and Nevada crowd have the In-N-Out.
But Burger King's not that good. Sorry.
No, it's not. Is this going to get into... Well, no,
let's
this,
not
this,
even
this
go there. I mean, more boring than stock market, fast food restaurants.
Yeah, you're right. But anyway, right, so Beige has lost his fucking mind. More or less. I'm just putting that out there.
That was a long trip.
Mega Dude 139. Luke, where do you buy your clothes?
Oh, nice.
I know.
There's a whole thread. A couple of pages.
Luke and I were having this discussion
clothes.
Actually a little while ago.
On where he buys his clothes?
You buy your clothes?
So, Luke, where do you buy your clothes?
I posted on thread. I said that normally the collared shirts that I have are from Express, but I'm unhappy with their lineup this year, so I'm looking for something else.
I will say right now, the t-shirt you're wearing is entertaining.
This is from Threadless.
Nice. How about you? By the way, this shirt, Limited Express.
I'm sure the listeners are thrilled by you not describing your clothing to each other.
This is almost as fun as Project Runway.
Yeah, it's almost.
They're actually Project Runway is great.
Well, yeah.
Luke's shirt says, "You know, sometimes I feel pretty average."
And it has a picture of a huge
daddy
bear on it.
It's the daddy bear with the baby bear.
Yeah. I don't get it, but I like it.
Where are we going here?
A few more things from the boards before we move on.
Hit it.
There was a very long thread which Basement Dweller started arguing, if you took the final scores out of all video game reviews and just left the written part, would that be so bad? It's not like you're left with nothing. You still have one or two pages of well-written thoughts and opinions on the time the reviewer had with the game. And this went on and on and on. Now, we've been drawn into this debate before, but now we actually know for a fact that people don't like this. We took the scores off on mm-hmm. Computer Gaming World before we changed it into
GFW.
Into Games for Windows. Thinking that people, you read all these sort of masturbatory, you know, I just want, you know, I want more intelligent writing and
shitstorm of the millennium.
You take the score off and the outcry from not having the score. And a lot of it comes back to something that Shane keeps saying is, since when did people ask not to have things?
Right.
It's like, you know, they want
it's
more.
Like, I don't want these things that you're giving me.
And that's essentially what it comes down to.
The PS3 right. effect.
And as much as, like, I'm upset when people don't read our reviews and just look at the scores, when I see reviews with no scores, it pisses me off. Other websites have done it, and, like, when
for those,
CGW did it, it makes me angry.
Mm-hmm. For those listening from the EU, a couple of years ago, Edge did the same thing. And by the way, they chickened out and at the very back of the book put in all the scores for
the
reviews.
You had to match them to the reviews.
And you had to match them to the reviews. How many people flipped straight to the back and looked at all those scores? God damn it, I know most of you did. So anyway.
I mean, the bottom line is the majority of people that want to read about video games, it's what they're programmed to think.
I would tell this guy, if you don't want to look at the score, don't look at the
score.
Don't
look at the score.
And read the damn things. Skip's right here. We put a lot of work into the prose, right? It's right there. Go read our damn, read what we wrote.
It does drive me crazy when people don't read the text, though, and just quote the scores.
What's up, Resistance?
Because we put a lot of time and effort into...
You should look at both the score and...
Yeah, with the text justifying the score, and I think a lot of people, particularly people that work at game publishers, tend to not do that.
Well, they just are into the game ranking score, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you know, people got upset... Did you notice that people got upset with us for referencing game rankings in that story we did about, you know, which launch was the best? Because we have actually dogged on game rankings. Folks, if you're looking at that story, you know the story I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We should tell them, if you haven't looked at it, there's a story we did in the news section about what was the worst reviewed launch. The reason we did it off game rankings is we didn't do it that well. I mean, actually.
Continue.
The reason we did it that way was because game rankings is the source that has that sort of average. It doesn't change
the fact.
Well,
Metacritic has it as well.
Yeah, but
but they have like a whole weird sub-ranking system that's totally
Metacritic
confusing.
Doesn't go back as far.
That's true.
And the whole point of that story was just to kind of compare the things out there. It wasn't to draw any great conclusions from it. It was to let you draw your own conclusions, which you did in the comments. Some of you intelligent and some of you, well.
Some of you like your usual commenter at oneup.com.
Right. Anyway, that was a game rankings sidetrack.
Yeah.
Did you reach a point with that?
Not really.
Not really.
Not really.
You got a problem with that?
No, it's fine. This is a great show. Thanks for listening. I promise there will be more and it'll be better.
Fuck off.
Snoozle.
Our listeners are right now.
Snoozle, is that a Viva Pinata?
Snoozle could be a Viva Pinata. He might.
Oh, by the
he
way.
He will find himself.
Just because Fudgehog is already stuck so badly on Indie, I have to name some more. We all
what?
Should,
what are
like,
you talking about?
Did you not notice the thread?
Oh no, Garnet! Garnet's going.
Does Indie AKA Rex have his own thread about him?
Indie AKA Rex is now, by the way, on our boards, ranked a Fudgehog.
And there's a whole thread that's like 18 pages long, congratulating him on that.
I'm a fan.
I think we should do some more in message board naming so that Indy's not by himself in the Viva Garden.
You want
And John is looking at Garnet. Just to describe for the three of you who are still listening to the show, John is looking at Garnet with the flattest, blankest whiteboard, just erased expression on his face, while Garnet's ranting like a madman besieged by alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that.
We'll get on that later. And now he's talking to them as though he's a child.
All right. Well, I have message board names incoming for my Viva Pinatas.
Okay.
And now can I
move
child.
On to the last thing?
Yes.
No.
Please.
Please.
Last week, we talked about Gears of War ranked games and what dicks people were when you entered the ranked games. So Snoozle had passed on some tips on the board. So number one, he said, don't play execution mode. The mode is perfect for all the idiots who love to rack up the meaningless points by downing someone over and over again. It's basically asshole city, so pay attention. He said, don't play matches with tons of rounds. Anything over 7, you're again wading into points-boosting territory. Also, these long round games vastly increase the chances that someone on your team or the other team will give up and quit when their team is losing, which obviously you don't want. What else did he say? Don't use the quick match feature in ranking. You end up getting stuck in one of the other situations, and it's just a nightmare. Any of you guys actually sort of dug into ranked games in Gears
of
War?
Yeah, I've played a handful of them.
Do you have any tips on how to not get sort of, you know...
Yeah, it's called don't play ranked games in Gears of War. That's a block of your achievement score that you're just going to have to let go.
I got the impression a lot of people were bitching about the number of quitters.
Yeah, well, the thing
that's
is,
always
like,
a problem.
I played one game where it was like... One game was first team to 10 wins with 1 minute rounds, and it was the kill, like Warzone or whatever. Dude, in a minute, you're not going to kill the other team. You're just not going to. So it's a draw. So first to 10, you end up playing like 30 games with the same 8 dudes, and people just quit. It's stupid. Good job, Epic. I don't know who decided that was a fun game type. Maybe work on that in the sequel.
Well, bow. All right, so the sequel to What You've Been Playing is coming up, which is the What You've Been Playing...
For fun.
For fun. For reals.
For reals.
And we'll be back in a minute with that.
You're listening to One Up Yours, part of the One Up Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief at Games for Windows Magazine. Happy holidays! Did you know that every time you listen to our podcast, an angel gets his wings? And did you also know that every time you don't listen, a puppy dies? Both things are true. So please listen to our podcast at gfwradio.oneup.com or podcast.oneup.com. Or, if you must, go to the iTunes Music Store. Thanks!
And you know, you'd think it would be kind of hard to do a segment like this with what we've been playing for fun, when apparently we don't play games for fun. But you know what? We do.
Well, now all the games are out, so we can play for fun.
And we just had and we had Thanksgiving break, and Thanksgiving break was a good opportunity.
A serious 4-day weekend. Yeah, a lot of gaming.
So who's going to start off in here? Luke, I think maybe you should go first, because you hate games the most.
I'm not going to argue.
You're the first one that Chef wants to replace with people who actually enjoy playing games and not just ranting about how mediocre.
Maybe you should spend more time in the kitchen and less time on the internet.
I think they'll be surprised by the turn that Luke's life has taken.
So what have I been playing? Well, aside from the Viva Pinata stuff, which we've been talking about a lot, and we're not going to talk about this week. I just started playing Metal Gear Portable Ops, which is really it's really surprising because I was...
Isn't it weird to play a PSP game?
It's weird, one, to play a PSP game, and it's weird to play a Metal Gear game that is working so far on the PSP. It really is working in terms of, like, it has this mission style, and these missions are short and quick, and it's not like if you were just getting into, like, a Snake Eater type experience, which is a long experience where there's no real great places to stop... It'd be one thing and it wouldn't work. But because there are these short series of missions with different characters, it does actually work. And so far, it's a lot of fun. I have been playing a lot of Elite Beat Agents.
Wait. The fuck are you like poo-pooing that shit for? I was all over
because
that shit last week.
There's a disturbing trend with my gaming of late. It's sort of...
You mean that, like, since you shaved, it's gone gay?
Yes.
Wow. It's, I really like these baby games lately, like Viva,
Baby is
Elite
a good
Beat.
Way to put it.
Zelda 2, Zelda Link to the Past, and then friggin'
So how much Twilight Princess you been playing there, Luke?
Over the Thanksgiving break, I played about 30 hours.
What do you like? What do you like about EBA? Because I love Elite Beat. I don't know what the heck. I think, why are you embarrassed about it?
No, the thing that I liked the most about Elite Beat was it was another one of those games like Viva was for me, was where as soon as I started playing Elite Beat, I was just laughing the whole time I was playing because it's such a hoot while you're playing it. And I mean, pop punk I hate as far as a music genre. I think it's shit.
But like, Avril Lavigne you love.
You know, I don't, but it works. I was talking with Jeremy Parrish about it. It works so well in context that you have these like shitty little pop punk songs that are totally mindless but totally perfect for this screen tamping horseshit.
And like the plot and the visuals are so crazy funny, and you can't really even pay attention the first time, so you want to play again just to like watch what happens.
And then, and then you like watch your replay and you see the whole thing unfold, and it is cute. It's really, really good. It's really fun.
You played multiplayer yet?
I haven't got to screw around with it yet.
Dude, you gotta come down the office and play some multiplayer.
You know, okay, but getting back to the Twilight Princess, what surprised me about this is for a long time on this show, I've been out here doing this with you, and it seemed like you weren't going to buy a GameCube 1.2.
Oh, wait a minute. Would you back him the fuck down? Do you see that smug look
in
his face?
No, I want him to start to throw his punches. Okay. I'm gonna take it like a man. So there's still something left in the basement.
I've heard that not only do you want to purchase a Wii, but you've been trying really hard to purchase a Wii.
Yeah.
So, do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, actually, Thursday, I went out and went to Virgin Record Store in downtown San Francisco. It was like, hey, do you guys have any Wiis? And they're like, yep, we do. And I said, oh, cool, I'll take one. And they're like, oh, we can't sell it to you. You don't sell the Lithuanians?
No, we don't.
And they said, they were like, no, we actually, we only got foreign and employees are buying all of them. And I was like, excuse me?
They're what?
Employees? But I'm a customer? We're on two different tiers, right?
I'm always right.
Yeah. And they're like, well, no, we can't. It's spoken for and people are buying them after their shifts. So I came back here and called Virgin PR.
Like corporate PR.
Yeah, corporate PR, and issued my complaints, and we're working on a story for 1UP about it called Wanna Buy a Wii? Work at Virgin Megastore.
Maybe you should have pre-ordered a Wii, Luke, like me.
Did you pre-order it, or did you just, like, take one from work?
No, I pre-purchased mine at EV. I waited in line in the cold San Francisco morning for 3 hours to pre-purchase my Wii.
Yeah, see, like, I want one, but I don't want one that bad. Like the whole getting up early to like wait in line with dudes.
Well, on Black Friday, Mark McDonald, he went to Best Buy at 5 in the morning to get a Wii, and there were already 500 people there, and they only had 100 Wiis, so he got screwed. He's still looking for one.
I've got
Skip
the one
wants
up.
One too. Skip wants
I've
a
got
Wii.
The 1UP.com one with a doctor's note from Sam.
You're loving some Zelda.
Yeah, I'm going to play.
Do we know when there's going to be a decent supply of them? Because I already want one.
I heard December 6th.
Really?
Let's start.
Because we heard that there's 100,000 PS3s a week going into stores right now.
They had PS3s today at the PlayStation.
Yeah, the PlayStation store had 120 of them, and it was a 4-hour wait to get them.
Yeah.
But Wiis, there's a fairly steady flow of them. Is that the deal?
Supposedly.
They said today, 4 million by the end of the year?
Spoilers.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to it. You got a whole lot of Wiis.
So it sounds like you've been playing a lot of Nintendo games there, Luke. Interesting.
Yep, Elite Beat and a bunch of Zelda.
Interesting.
But
Game Boy Advance kicks the crap out of PSP, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. The DS is really good. I've got Final Fantasy 3
or something.
Did
you say Game Boy Advance?
Yeah, I did say that. I meant DS.
Well, two of the games I listed were GBA games.
Yeah, that's true.
Zelda 2 and Link to the Past. So. Yeah.
That's true.
Well, I'm proud of you, Luke.
DS still does. Skip and I were talking about this while we were walking over to lunch today. The fucking PSP is such a pain in the ass when the sun's out because you cannot see a thing on that screen. It's like, it's nice and glossy and reflects really well.
So what have you been playing for fun, Garnet?
I mean, I've been playing that Phantasy Star.
I'm going to get back on there because I stopped playing because... A, it's like a beta that I'm paying for, but now they've added some new content, so I want to go back and see the third planet and get some of the new stuff, and after I'm done with Zelda, I'll get back on and play with you.
Okay, so like the big surprise of that game is that the single player doesn't actually suck.
It's not great, but it doesn't suck.
It's not a bad way to blow your time, right?
But my whole complaint the whole time has been there should be some sort of content that you get for playing it. Like, not that makes you stronger, but just like new clothes, new stuff to decorate your house with online, just some sort of incentive.
You know what you get? You get achievements, because all the achievements are based off the single player game. Every single achievement is based off the single player, which is really weird.
I don't care about achievements.
Yeah, you have 90.
I don't care.
You don't care.
It's meaningless.
But wasn't the original plan when they announced Universe was that you weren't going to be able to play the multiplayer until you'd beaten the single player? Do you remember what early on they said that they were going to...
They changed that pretty early.
Yeah, but I mean, the original plan was play through the single player game, learn everything, and then go online.
I would say I played single player for about 8 hours before starting into the multiplayer, and it was a damn good thing I did, because this game is like the opposite of Warcraft, where Warcraft holds your hand and like takes you through what to do as a beginner. If you start and
you will not understand how to make items at all.
You won't even know where the hell to go.
Yeah. I watched someone trying to do stuff in that game, and the menu system was totally wrong.
The menu system is worse than PSO.
Yeah, the menu system's pretty crap.
6 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crap. But the game, pretty fun. The grinding, a little monotonous. So how high did you get your character?
I'm at level 15, and I end up, you know, I reviewed the game, and I'm the biggest PSO nut you ever met. I gave PSO 1 and 2 a 10. I love PSO, and I'm pretty disappointed with PSU. I think eventually, after enough updates and, like, additional content, it will be a really awesome game, but right now it's still a work in progress.
So when do I get to stop going through linear line 1 and 2 over and over?
Oh, you can go to all the planets right now. What level are you, 5? Yeah. You can easily go to the first real planet right now.
Yeah, I went to the first real planet when my ranger was getting...
Don't solo. I'll play with you. You'll be fine.
All right. So there's that.
Aww.
That was nice. It'll be a bonding moment.
Yeah.
Be the 230-somethings playing some games together.
Yeah, while you still are a 30-something. Enjoy that while it lasts.
I got 10 months. That'd be plenty of time. By that time, we won't even be playing Phantasy Star.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know what else I've been playing? I'm playing Dungeon Siege on the PSP, which is Dungeon Siege... Please wait, loading.
But it's like a really good Diablo clone is what I hear.
It is a really good Diablo clone. It's a really good Diablo clone.
I thought it was better than the Untold Legends games, definitely.
It's way better. You know what it is? It's Champions of Norrath on the PSP, which is really cool. It's a really good game, except for the fact that the loading times are killer, and I'm so sick of dealing with PSP.
You know how you can avoid them? Is hack your PSP and download it to a memory stick.
I read that doesn't even fix it completely, though.
Really?
It'll improve it, though.
It will improve it. But I'm kind of convinced by this game and then having played Grand Theft that disk delivery...
UMD, DOA.
Pretty much. And disk as a media system for a portable, not the right way to go. You're never going to get past this. You're never going to get past the battery life. You're never going to get past the loading times. You're never going to get past, do you let people stream
maybe
stuff or not?
Maybe a 10 million unit heads, edge is showing that Nintendo was right with using cartridges for DS.
Absolutely. Or some sort of solid state memory system, whether it's SD cards or whatever, download it. John, you're big on like the whole idea of like we're going to download games to portables.
Oh, yeah. And something to do with all the memory sticks they're not selling.
They've been marked down pretty well over the last couple of weeks in sales.
True. The 4 gig ones are still insane.
2 gigs, plenty, right?
Yeah.
That's funny.
You can get those around for like $40. Skip was telling me he bought one for like $25 at Office Max on Black Friday, which was...
It was an
SD card.
I bought one of those too.
Anyway. So yeah, Dungeon Siege, great character advancement, lots of subclasses. Great level grinding. It's kind of weird though the way the progression works. Instead of Dungeon Siege, which always had a big world that you just went seamlessly from world to world, it has like an overmap, so you actually have to jump out to a high level and wander around. I don't like that part so much because, again, you're back to the loading times, and the loading times are what kill the game. You spend more time in loading screens than you spend in adventuring areas. So I don't know.
John,
I played setting up a PS3.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Is this another Mark
I read
thread?
The blog about it. It was like 40 steps, right?
It took me an hour and 11 minutes because I foolishly tried to get the 60-gig model to connect to the internet using the Wi-Fi connection, one of the reasons you spend the extra $100.
What other reason is there?
That's my
bullshit.
Favorite. That's my favorite part of the story, because you have right now, pre your PS3 in your home, your 360 and your PSP both worked on your network, right?
Yeah.
You had a synergized
two laptops,
experience.
A desktop, another little handheld device, a bunch of stuff, which was all set up using, and the PSP was working great using the usual web-based security, but for some reason. Now, this isn't, to be fair, this isn't just the PS3's fault, although the PS3 definitely had its issues. But by replicating the exact same setup that my PSP would speak to the internet, the PS3 wouldn't. Absolutely refused to.
By the way, WEP is crap.
I know it's crap. I ended up doing in the end was just turning all wireless security off altogether to get it to work.
Well, WEP's about the same from what I understand, right?
Yeah, but you want to try punching in a 26-digit code using that T9 interface? That's really awesome. So I went through all this and got so angry that I I didn't actually end up putting a game in.
Wait a minute.
How long did it take you to get your PS... What was it that you said? Where did your PS3 sit for a week?
We're not going to talk about that.
By the way...
Wasn't it in the boot of your car?
Yeah, I did.
Look at it busting out the proper English.
That's what he said.
I bought it and I got distracted by Rainbow Six.
So it sat in the trunk of your car for a week?
That is unbelievable.
But Shane, what's the status of your PS3?
John's talking about what he's playing.
No,
fuck really.
Let John finish. He didn't even play a game yet.
I didn't play a game yet. No, but I played a lot of Rainbow Six. I've been continuing. Today, actually.
Your time is coming, Bettenhausen.
This week was the last week that the OPM guys were in the office before they left after we closed the magazine. And they've been sort of, you know, finding games to go and play and sort of while they're between jobs. And nearly all of them are completely addicted to Viva Pinata. So we started passing crates backwards and forwards and swapping creatures. And Scooter from OPM, you might know from Radio OPM, has become obsessed with trying to mutate creatures. So he has a four-headed snake. Did you know you could have a four-headed snake?
We talked about it this week, yeah.
And he's been setting fire to stuff. And so I've been getting back into Viva Pinata, which actually passes a test that I think we talked about a few weeks ago, where we were really into it and then we stopped playing it.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, are you going to go back to it? And is it going to bite you and get you and draw you back in? And I'd actually left it alone for nearly 2 weeks. And I got back in just to sort of fool around and just see what I could do. And Scooter had told me that he'd sent me a package. So I went to go and pick it up.
Sims games are like that.
And I ended up playing for like 3 hours, like into the wee hours of the morning.
That's how sim games work. I still have Sim City on my PC because I can go back to it anytime I want to. Just kick it on for a minute, check out the city, see what's going on.
Viva Pinata and Rainbow Six Vegas were actually the reasons why I forgot about the PS3 for a few days.
You know, we've taken a bunch of shit for it, but you notice what hasn't come up yet? None of us are playing Gears for fun right now.
Well, we're all dicks for dissing on it last week, right?
Whatever. Microsoft's buying us.
Obviously, clearly.
I'm going to play the multiplayer again.
I'm still itching to play some co-op if Luke never can figure out how to get the internets hooked up at his new place.
Well, it's just a matter of, I mean, that's what I was talking about with the WEP stuff. I'm having problems stealing the internet from my neighbors right now. This one lady leaves her configuration open so I can leech her Wi-Fi.
Actually, a lot of people, if you sort of scan for networks in your neighborhood, very often if the name of the network is the name of the device, like it says Netgear or Linksys, there's a pretty high chance that the password is still password.
Password or admin.
Admin, or
admin, and you can leech off pretty much anyone.
That's great advice for the listeners, John.
Speaking of the listeners, Shane.
What about the listeners?
You ducked that question a minute ago because you've got a PS3. You got one via here.
I did.
What was the unboxing like?
The unboxing?
Yeah. that would be when you took it out of the box.
Well, see, I haven't actually unpacked my PlayStation 3 yet.
And the internet just died.
Because, well,
along with the hopes and dreams of ka-ching.
All right, I don't personally own an HDTV.
And Kaz.
All right, I don't own an HDTV. My roommate, this
guy. Oh, that's the reason. I don't own an HDTV. Granted, the PS3 doesn't come with connecting cables to hook up to it.
I have an HDMI cable for my PS3.
Tell me, Shan.
I have an HDMI cable, and I'm going to hook it up to your TV.
Do you think of the PlayStation?
We all can enjoy the splendor of the PlayStation 3 once I hook it up. But I'm still playing Zelda. Because there's so much to it, and I'm trying to get everything. And until I finish and I'm done with Zelda, no other game really has been, like, entering my mind.
So to be fair, so that Shane and I don't look like heinous dickheads for this, we were very distracted by other experiences.
Right. And
good save, John.
Right. Dance.
So in other words, John's saying Rainbow Six better than the PS3.
I like Rainbow Six better than Luke does.
Let me continue. Yeah. And I do have a PlayStation 3 hooked up to my HDTV at work, where I have been playing.
Yeah, I've seen you playing Ninja.
And I do want to play through Resistance, and I'm going to play Resistance probably there, because it looks better, after I finish Zelda. So I've been playing Zelda. I've also been playing Super Mario 64, which I downloaded for Virtual Console, and I'm using that as like the thing to play when I'm tired of Zelda. And I've also been playing a ton of Wii Sports with my friends. Every time we come over, it's bowling and tennis and baseball. I love it. I think it got really under-reviewed in EGM, except for everybody but Skip. Skip is the only person who kept it real in the EGM review.
What did you give it, Skip?
6.5.
I thought you gave it a 7.
No,
okay, you all suck.
No, you gave it 6.5.
You all suck. Everyone, like, it got really under-reviewed in EGM, I feel.
I thought 6.5 was good.
No, you suck. It is good.
6.5, I'm reclaming 6.5, except for when it's like when my pet
is good, but I would give it a 7 or a 7.5.
I can see that.
But I am going to unhook my hook up my PS3 eventually and enjoy it. I'm looking forward.
You're gonna hook up your PS3 when there's software.
Well,
MotorStorm.
I've also been playing MotorStorm.
Next March, hookup confirmed.
No, I'm gonna import MotorStorm. Comes out December 7th in Japan. And I was playing MotorStorm. Mark McDonald purchased a new TV over Thanksgiving break, I had helped carry this 60-inch TV up his stairs, and it's a 1080p amazing Sony. We put MotorStorm in. We're playing the demo. Mark's girlfriend walks in from a party, and she actually jaw drops and says, "It's a window to the desert." That's what she said. I'm like, it's the funniest thing ever. She's like, "It's a window to the desert."
See, because I played it on Mark's just gross 60-inch so 1080p TV, and it's good. It looked good, but it didn't. I mean, I wasn't mystified.
It's beautiful.
I wasn't completely. But
my other funny
Skip doesn't like the MotorStorm so much either.
A bunch of haters. My other PS3 story that's kind of funny is over the break I was at Shu's house and we were playing games or whatever, and we decided, oh, let's watch a movie. And we're like, well, let's watch a Blu-ray movie or an HD DVD movie, because he has both. And we decided to watch Talladega Nights on the PS3. And it looks amazing. I mean, once you've seen a Blu-ray or an HD DVD, the quality is just insane. But then halfway through, it actually locked up and we had to reboot.
Oh, God. But
first-gen hardware.
However, all the other sites, including like the ZDE, like tech sites, they're saying the PS3 is actually the best Blu-ray player compared to the other models.
It should be. I mean, it definitely should be, and Sony needs it to be.
Yeah. So apparently, it is actually better than the standalone players. But yeah, we had a lot.
Which cost more?
Which cost
more.
$1,000 still,
that's,
right?
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Sony supporting the people who are making hardware to play their exclusive format. It's great.
Blu-ray disc.
Whatever. People don't like it when we talk about this shit.
Yeah.
I don't care.
What are you going to be playing?
What am I?
That's a whole other segment. Let's move on.
Holy shit! I don't know. I'm gonna be playing Zelda. I want to beat Zelda by December 14th or so.
Oh, you've got it clocked. He's got it in his he's got it in his memo minder.
Why?
December 14th.
I want to be done with it.
That's your deadline?
Because I want to be ready. I want to clear my palate to get ready for my Burning Crusade session.
You know what actually made me happy is Skip and Greg Ford dropped off Lost Planet on my desk today. I was very happy about that.
When is that out, probably?
Next year.
January 7th or the 14th, one of those two.
I'm waiting for the inevitable PlayStation 3 version.
Lost Planet.
Why?
Lost Planet Extreme Condition Collector's SKU.
I think it might have some additional content.
August.
Whatever. I'm really looking forward to playing that.
I'm just guessing, John.
Okay. You said that with such authority that I thought you were...
You
had a window into the future.
Well, that's kind of my MO.
John checked out the RoboBlitz, the new Unreal 3 engine.
Yeah, I didn't mention it because we were talking about stuff that we were playing for,
fun.
I didn't want to go that far. I think it's very impressive that there's a game that uses the Unreal 3 engine as an Xbox Live Arcade game.
And it squoze it in under the 50 meg.
Which is, it's like a huge sort of sprawling 3D thing. It's got some issues, though.
The controls.
Yeah. Did you see it, any of you?
No, well,
little robot spinning around on a ball, and it's like a lot of spatial reasoning puzzles sort of thing where you're, moving huge items of scenery around. And
it's not what you expect. You hear RoboBlitz, and you're expecting some kind of weird robot arena fighting combat.
I was actually expecting, a sports game, like a speedball knockoff with robots or something.
Not at all. Some kind of weird space station puzzle solving. Right. So all the, John was describing, it was spatial puzzles. You're trying to figure out, the room we were in was a... What was it? They were building energy cores.
These huge conveyor belts on these huge towers that we were having to move around, and these things were coming out of a machine and moving along the conveyor belts, which were six huge rooms long, and then...
Logic puzzles. Punching buttons, aligning conveyor belts, figuring out all that kind of stuff, while being attacked by weird robot monsters. But it looks really good. It does, but the thing is, it looks really good. And the point that I guess was bigger takeaway from it than the game itself is how much can be done with Xbox Live Arcade if you use a sophisticated engine.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we talked probably sometime in the last month about that compression tech, and games like RoboBlitz are sort of examples of the compression technology, right? Being able to compress these textures or whatever the fandangled language is for it to have, bigger, cleaner looking games rather than fucking Pac-Man.
And we all have small arms, so we're going to play some small arms, which is like Smash Brothers.
I heard some mixed reports on that one.
It's very mixed reports so far.
I've heard really mixed reports.
Smash Brothers with guns, which I have my
doubts about. It's like Smash Brothers,
about.
But not good.
You know what? I've enjoyed what I played of it so far. So
right.
I think that if we all get together and play it, we'll either love it or hate it, we'll talk about it, and we'll figure out what the deal is on that. Right?
I just need that internet to get hooked up.
Yes, you do. And hopefully you'll have that done, but you probably won't have it done before we get back in just a minute. We're going to talk about news. Luke has a stack full of news there.
Call it the kid beer.
Let's not, thanks. But regardless, we'll be back in a minute with the news.
Hi, this is Kathleen from the 1UP Show. This week, we're talking about the personal side of Rainbow Six Vegas. Skip takes a guitar lesson Guitar Hero style. Brian Sporto Intihar breaks down and admits enjoying Elite Beat Agents. And Luke Smith says that Viva Pinata could be his game of the year. Download it now, 1UPShow.1UP.com.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. But as long as you're here, let me tell you about EGM Live, the weekly podcast from the editors of Electronic Gaming Monthly, along with the wonderful sounds of... EGM Live comes action-packed with special guests, late-breaking news, fanboy-baiting commentary, behind-the-scenes tales of office tomfoolery, and trivia contests with fantabulous prizes. Download it now at egmlive.1up.com or subscribe to it through iTunes.
EGM Live is part of the 1UP Radio Network, taped in the Ziff Davis offices in San Francisco. It is not actually live, and contest prizes are not guaranteed to be fantabulous.
You're listening to 1UP Yours on the 1UP Radio Network.
All right, if you think we broke the internet before, I want you to believe that Luke Smith is about to give props to Electronic Arts.
Yeah. EA, free jerseys, Madden, NCAA.
Dude, me and Brian are probably, like, along with you, like, on the, wow.
It's like, let them eat cake.
Well, considering the fact that there's, like, $70 in microtransactions for Need for Speed Carbon, it seems like a bit of a weird time to announce free jerseys for Madden. But Larry, Major Nelson, said something on MajorNelson.com about how one of the stipulations for Xbox Live marketplace transactions is that it can't be anything that's included free in another game. Now, while that seemed to fly in the face of the cheat stuff oftentimes is stuff that you can unlock on your own volition in the game. So there's sort of it gets around it that way. So what you should expect next year in the last gen versions of the game, and probably the PS3 versions of the game, is that there won't be alternate jerseys whatsoever in any version of Madden or NCAA next year.
I knew you could come through.
And away. Oh. And you know what? If you want to fucking play as the San Diego Superchargers in that sexy sky blue jersey, fucking $2.
Oh, Luke, PS3 is all about the microtransactions too.
Is it?
I have them, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It's going to bohica everything. I've seen the GTHD speculation.
If you want the superstars and the Cowboys, you'll be paying for it.
We'll talk about Sony and Microsoft in just a sec. I want to start with Nintendo, because Nintendo's had a really good week.
They've had a good week.
They've had a ton of positive mainstream press.
So when they release a Zelda game, that's good for them?
It is. Yeah,
if you can imagine. Reggie Fils-Aimé said that he does think that the difference between Nintendo and their competitors is that we're not arrogant. We don't view success as a right. We feel a need to earn success every day.
They also innovate, like, you know, 12 versions of Mario.
They do innovate. Shut up.
Wow.
Good discussion.
Good. That was good. That's good. And did you want to talk about Gone and Smom real quick, Shane?
What's left to be said?
Reggie's been talking lots. He said that...
He hates it when, like, he gets thrown out of bed.
Like John alluded to earlier. Jesus. I don't think Shane's had that problem, but not for the reasons you said.
Gone and Smom kicking him out of bed?
I haven't had that problem, no.
None of us have, Shane.
I figured as much.
In Shane's case, I was alluding to the problem of being in bed with a woman in the first place.
That was my brother. You just didn't notice because you had him from behind.
What about Reggie?
And there's your anal joke.
Wow. Reggie.
Skip is fucking crying. Skip is like.
Reggie, in another,
Skip has his head
in
down.
Another interview, that the interview where he called people arrogant was with Steven from MTV. And it was actually
a really good interview.
It was a really great interview. It was one of the best interviews I've seen with Reggie in recent memory. Reggie said that 4 million Wiis will ship in 2006, which you alluded to earlier. Is 4 million going to be enough? I mean, right now, it definitely seems like demand is vastly
outstripping
supply.
I pretty much said.
But yeah, like, yeah. As I was saying, I have several friends in the game industry who desperately want Wiis. That's not a good sign.
Reggie, MMOs are possible on the Wii and more Mii customization. Here's what he said. The Wii certainly has enough power to drive an MMO and make it totally interactive. Are we as a first party looking at it? Not so far. But we are encouraging other developers to look at this. So maybe
encouraging.
Encouraging, yeah. But I mean,
I actually think we'll see PSU on Wii next year. Just putting that out there right now.
Interesting.
Yep.
Really? Zelda Craft.
Let me say that.
Because it's easily possible, and it's a good revenue stream for them, and it's going to be big in Japan, and it's just a good fit.
Yeah.
What if you could? Does your head not really fit into the Mii? Like, do you have elephantitis, or you have a weird shaped head, just in general, and your Mii doesn't look right? Well, what if you could? What if there are additional options coming to customize your Mii?
I would purchase them as a microtransaction.
You know what? You're actually probably going to get that opportunity, Shane. More Wii stuff. There's a job posting on Ubisoft. Oh, over in the French area of the world, that they're looking for a lead designer to continue the Red Steel franchise, which, I mean, that has me pretty fucking stoked.
Well, the good news is we'll have something for the buyer's guide next year.
Yeah, it's a franchise now.
It's about to be.
Maybe they should call it something else.
Red Steel sequel, the continuation of the Red Steel IP. Apparently,
there's got to be something on that Games to Avoid list.
Well, apparently Red Steel is selling well. From reports we've heard.
Of course it is. People
so is Happy Feet.
I mean, so did Britney Spears' last record. In Japan, the Virtual Console release dates were unveiled.
I'm incensed about this. I'm cutting in. I'm really pissed off. I've been talking to a lot of friends, and they want me to talk about this on the podcast. Specifically, they're like, mention this, because it's really an injustice, and it is. Every other territory in the world is getting better Virtual Console stuff faster than we are.
Injustice!
And I don't understand what Nintendo's deal is. Why can't we have these games? Like, on day one, Japan gets, like, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario
World,
Zelda
3, shit on
Castlevania
here.
4, Contra 3, Picross, Fire Emblem, the list goes on. Meanwhile, we have, like, pinball and a bunch of shit.
Meanwhile, we're really excited about some Hudson games. Yeah, the Virtual Console.
There's no explanation. There's no reasoning behind this.
Like, Jesus,
have they? I'm really pissed. Not said it's a licensing issue
no.
or a publishing issue.
No,
F-Zero, Super Castlevania 4, Link to the Past, Ice Hockey, Fat, Thin, Medium.
Yes. Ice Hockey is awesome. But another weird thing: Zelda Link to the Past is a premium price in Japan. It costs 900 points.
Rather than
the rest of the games, like, because it's
so
a better game.
So
what?
Does Fire Emblem, actually.
That's weird. Like, what's with that?
In late December.
I'm pissed.
You should
be. You know, Jeremy Parrish is actually getting Japanese hardware this weekend and a bunch of Japanese points.
Also, in Japanese Wii launch, they have 12 games that we don't have that look pretty cool.
Including WarioWare.
And Wii Play and a Mr. Domino game and some other cool stuff.
So I know Jeremy's going to spend, like, all weekend on that. I'm looking forward to seeing, like, what he comes up.
And actually, Europe is also getting Wii Play at launch. They're getting better packaging for all the stuff. Like, their stuff doesn't come in blister packs, come in boxes. Yeah. America's getting screwed.
Well, I hate those blister packs.
America's getting screwed, but they're not screwing Nintendo. Friggin' Americans bought 600,000 Wiis in the first week with
you wish you were one of those.
With a 75% attach rate. I actually wish that one was just sent to my desk.
Luke really doing well with the segues today, isn't he? He's like
75% attach rate on Zelda, which sold about 454,000.
Well, and Zelda, actually, on launch day, it was really hard to find. Like, Shu was trying to find it, was sold out everywhere.
Well, I know a bunch of my friends who were unable to get Wiis but did buy Zelda when they saw Zelda in stores. So while it says, I mean, the numbers match up to be like a 75% attach rate, it's probably a little bit lower because not everyone got a Wii. It's great that Nintendo would come clean with how many units they sold. Sony tried to come clean in a similar fashion, but instead just told us, we sold out. But,
really?
Yeah,
they sold out?
Sony said they sold out of PS3s, but thankfully...
How many did they ship?
Well, you know, we don't know, but our friends over at EA do, our new friends. Larry Probst said that he's a CEO at EA. He said that Sony shipped 200,000 PS3s for launch, which is roughly half of the 400,000 they've promised. And Larry also said that he and EA expect Sony to ship between 500,000 and 800,000 units this year, which is in between half 80% of the numbers that Sony said that they expected to ship.
A bunch of the analysts have been saying they expected 100,000 units a week going out every Thursday.
Well, I know that's not really happening, is it?
And Japan's hardly gotten any.
Well, I know that Patrick Klepek this week came back. He came back in IME after he was gone for a while during the day and said, I just went to Best Buy and just grabbed a PS3.
Really?
And then he said, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, though. He was. It might sit in his trunk for a while like it did at John's or in Shane's closet.
We're going to regret that.
What? I actually want that to just sit there.
What am I going to regret?
That's now public knowledge.
I like it a lot.
But I have one at my desk on a better TV. There you go.
Another thing that I like is that Sony's done the shuffle this week. They've shuffled around a bunch of their executives, which I think is a little bit early, but still telling nonetheless. They moved Kaz Hirai over to Japan to take Ken Kutaragi's old job. Moved Ken Kutaragi.
It's a promotion.
It's a promotion for Hirai, absolutely. And Jack Tretton got promoted to Hirai's old job as the CEO of...
COO and president
of SCEA. And then Ken Kutaragi sort of got moved upstairs, probably to a nicer office, but with a little bit less influence in the, we can't fire you because you made PS1
and PS2.
He's
the father of the PlayStation.
He's the father of the PlayStation. And he, but the firing lines are being moved squarely on Kaz Hirai and Jack Tretton's faces.
Are you implying that he got like a window job where your job is to look out the window?
What my hunch is that Kaz or Jack or both will be the ones that ultimately end up on the chopping block, and Ken Kutaragi because of existing
ties. But they're
ties.
Not to blame.
Dude, not Kaz. Kaz is the new Derek Zoolander of video games.
But are any of these guys to blame for the production problems?
No, well, that would be whoever architected new tech to begin with and thought that that was the way to compete.
Because, I mean, the production problems are the reason why Nintendo gets to claim victory over Sony, because Sony can't make enough units. And it's a big problem.
I saw someone do sort of a trail of tears, so to speak, where if you assume that next year, for the entire year, Sony sells 400,000 units a month, realistic, and Xbox 360 sells 200,000 units a month, Fantasyland. But if that happens, Sony will still be about 2 million units or something. They'll still be trailing if they outsell Xbox 360 2-1 next year. I mean, the console war is not something that's just going to shake down
right overnight.
And the real casualties, like we've talked about before, are these publishers who've put games out early, like Namco. And the situation that Namco's facing is Namco said, we've got to sell 500,000 units of Gundam and or Ridge Racer combined to make money on these two investments. Dude,
well,
I mean,
this is precisely why we're seeing what seem to be exclusives, such as Koei's games or Armored Core 4, or even like future games that we think are PS3 exclusives, coming out for Xbox 360, because third parties cannot recoup their investments unless they release them in America for Xbox 360. Because right now there are like 100,000 PS3s max in Japan.
Yeah, and right now and for the foreseeable future, you know, Xbox is going to have a lead.
Right.
It's going to be another
Xbox
way to make
has
money.
Xbox 360, which is a huge failure in Japan, still has the lead over PS3 there because they can't ship enough units.
Luke, you love you some Halo 3, right? We all
absolutely
know that. How much pressure is on those guys to get that game shipped?
I mean, there's a lot of pressure on them to get the game shipped, but the game is going to ship next year, period. It will not miss next year. It will not miss 2000.
So how much impact is that going to have on that formula you were just talking about, 400, 2-1?
There's no way that the PS3 will outsell the Xbox 360 2-1 next year, especially with a huge disparity in price. It will not happen. The numbers that you're going to see, like I said, I've said 1,000 times on the show, PS3's numbers in the NPDs for all of next year will be almost identical to the numbers that we've decried on the 360 all this year. Price is still a tremendous barrier to entry to your average consumer. And if consumers aren't adopting the Xbox 360 at $400, they're not going to adopt the PS3 at $600.
Is there any way to know how many of the 100 million PlayStation fans are willing to spend this? We don't really know that. Like, and we do know, well, okay, if all of the like 20 million Xbox fans are willing to buy Xbox, like there's a lot of like mysterious math going on here.
There's a point that in what you're saying is basically that there's a more visible ceiling for users who will be willing to advance the Xbox 360.
Like there are 4 million Halo fans. Well, that's 4 million people. That is 100 million people.
About,
you know,
7 million Halo fans at least per
worldwide. Yeah. But anyway, but we don't really know that. I mean, you're pulling these numbers out of your ass, and like,
I'm
Wii's going to outsell everything.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, again, Wii outselling everything would fit firmly in line with my price as a barrier to entry. But even though you don't think of it as only $50 cheaper than a core system, because really no one buys a core system anyway unless it's $100 on Amazon.
How long is it going to be $50 cheaper than a core system?
I would say early next year.
So Nintendo has a lot of room
to
drop that price, though.
Well, Nintendo has a lot of room to drop the price because Nintendo's system costs probably $88 to make.
And according to studies that have been out lately, Xbox starting to have room to drop that price, too.
We're going to talk about it. It's not on the list, but we're going to get to it. Which leads to the next thing, actually, with talking about the PS3. And we've talked about it before. Like, our developers gun-shy with PS3? Jamil over at GDC spoke to GameIndustry.biz this week and said that he knows a lot of third-party developers who are really tentative, like you said, to jump in with PS3 and make PS3 their lead SKU. Because, you know, when are they going to be able to recoup an investment on a $15 or a $16 or an $18 million game? Like, Killzone 2 is the biggest export from where the fuck is it being made?
The Netherlands.
Amsterdam.
Yeah, it's like the biggest export from the Netherlands. What?
And well, the project's going to cost $21 million, they're talking about, and how much it's going to cost to make that game.
The problem facing PS3 is, like, the impressive exclusives are all first party. What we need, what PS3 needs to succeed is... What the PlayStation 3 needs to succeed is exclusive third-party content that looks better than Xbox 60 games, and it's not there.
It's not there.
And like, you know, Devil May Cry 4 might be there, but we don't even know when it's coming out. For all we know, it might come to Xbox 360.
This is an interesting problem that we came up when we did the What the Cell is Going On feature, where a lot of the people that decried that feature as being unfair or whatever is like, well, you're just picking games that came out on 360 and now they're on PS3.
They're all ports.
But that is what we are going to be stuck with for the foreseeable future, because a company like Activision has to spread the load on, if it's doing a game like Marvel Ultimate Alliance, they've got to spend the money on developing the Xbox 360 version, which is expensive. Mm-hmm. There's the money on the PS3 version, all the other SKUs as well. Marvel gets a cut, Activision gets a cut, retail gets a cut. I mean, they have to spread the money in so many different places that to see like a big name franchise game that's not an original IP going exclusive on any platform over the next few years is, unless the platform holder is dropping a ton of cash into it, which right now it would appear that Microsoft is a bit more willing to do that than Sony. That's the only way it's going to happen.
The thing is, Microsoft has the capital to do that. And it's like, it's something that is being overlooked in these discussions. Microsoft's a company that's making $13 billion a quarter. Sony's a company that's suffering every quarter.
But what about everybody else? And this is something that you brought up several months ago that I mentioned to Skip today, which is, what if PlayStation 3 doesn't get off the ground? What if they don't establish themselves as the dominant force in the marketplace that they've been? Microsoft has not set a foundation yet that can carry the business, have they?
What do you mean by setting a foundation?
Existing base. Sony has 100 million users.
Yeah, but look how long it took to do that.
Right, but it doesn't go away overnight.
No.
And
it doesn't go away at all. Is there an opportunity for people to... people have asked me this question, is PlayStation 2 going to go away? No, you know what? PlayStation 2, not going to go away in the near future. Well, and when people see like what God of War 2 does, there's going to be even more encouragement for them to stick with it.
And if for the next 12 months on PlayStation 3, all we see are like impressive first-party titles and like mildly unimpressive third-party Xbox 360 ports, it'll be enough to sustain the PS3, but what has to happen, these systems have to be differentiated. They can't be the same system. Nothing's going to succeed that way. There's no reason to buy one or the other.
Oh my God, he's fucking right about
that. And what has to happen is a Japanese company has to make PS3 exclusive games, and for that to happen, the PlayStation 3 has to be like a lucrative thing in Japan, where in just Japan you can sell enough copies to make money. And how long is that going to take? When's this going to happen? Final Fantasy 13, that'll be the game. Can that come out in 2007? Will it ship in Japan 2007? That's kind of...
And what are Japanese companies making right now? They're making handheld games.
Well, we don't really know. Like, when you come down to it, you don't know what Konami, Capcom, you don't really know what these guys are making for PS3. And you know they probably are making a few exclusive games for it. But the matter of, like, when are we going to see these games? Like, what can we be excited for?
A lot's
up in the air right now.
I don't think we're going to see games like that sort of unveiled until there's a critical mass, whatever the critical mass is, as an installed base. Until it's, okay, there's 2 million users installed. It's time to roll out, oh my God, something awesome from
Capcom.
Because
if you release Metal Gear Solid 4 in Japan, in a world where there are, like, enough systems for everybody to buy, it would tank on Xbox 360 because no one cares, and it would sell well on PS3. But in America, they could conceivably sell the same amount.
Yep. And at this point, the multi-platform titles are not differentiating themselves well, and they're definitely a noticeable drop-off from the specific titles. In other words, Gears of War, Resistance on their platforms look way better than something like a Need for Speed Carbon looks because it was homogenized.
Well, look at all that stuff. The Tony Hawk and the Marvel game and Call of Duty. I mean, you can tell they're all developed for the lowest common denominator.
Right, and unless Sony... SCEA is willing to like pony up some money to convince American developers and American publishers to make exclusive games, we're not going to see any. So once again, it falls upon SCE and Japanese third parties to rescue the PlayStation.
So what you're saying is Microsoft's going to win because they're already doing that.
No.
Well, Microsoft's in the best position in North America.
They've been in the same boat. Look at all the games that we've been really wowed by this year. Gears of War, Viva Pinata, they're all first party. I mean, there have been games that have done well, like Dead Rising.
Until November, almost every game that wowed people on Xbox 60 was a multi-platform game that would also appear on the Xbox 360.
They had no other choice.
Thread incoming
like
media.
Something like Gras 2 suddenly seems less interesting when it comes out for both systems because it's not exclusive anymore.
Well, and because it's Gras.
Right. So
I'll say it.
I enjoyed my PS2 version of Dead Rising. It was very good.
However, I mean, on the long term, like when, like, it's going to take a long time for these wheels to start rolling for PS3, but I think they will. And like people like Square and Capcom and Konami will make games that are exclusive for PlayStation 3, but this is going to take a while, and it's not going to be overnight. And unless, I mean, Microsoft could combat this with more exclusives, like what they're doing with Alan Wake and what they're doing with BioShock. Like that, BioShock.
I would like to see Sony reach out to its development community the way Microsoft has and really support those guys.
Well, keep in mind, too, that, I mean, like I said earlier, not to, you know, bang on the same drum again, Microsoft has $13 billion sitting around. At some point, I mean, John, you and I have talked about it, that money's going to get invested. I expect Microsoft to make major software acquisitions next year.
Well, the problem is, I mean, the Xbox project has lost, what, $8 billion? I mean, like, they kind of, you know, you got to lose money to make money, but how much money are you willing to lose?
Well, the thing, I mean, but ultimately, like, the Microsoft entity, which is where, I mean, they can just pull money from, like, right. Oh, great, well, we made a lot of money in not Zune area.
Yeah, but Windows Vista is going to be a huge cash cow, and, like, they're going to have a lot of money off that. But, yeah, 07 is going to be interesting.
Sony, to finish up with Sony, 720p firmware patch. Garnet, you know a lot about this whole...
I can't believe they backed off of this. Lift
the veil on this for us.
Well, I mean, there's nothing to lift the veil off of. They've backed off of it. I mean, Dave Carricker, what's his official title?
Senior Director of Corporate Communications.
Has basically implied that it's not something that they're immediately working on. Is that what he said, basically?
Right.
And that's disturbing to me. I mean, the bottom line is like what John said. You don't want to have to fuck around with all these different resolutions and settings. You want to be able to set your system, hook it up to your high-def television, and have a good experience. It should just work.
But if your high-def television is outdated...
Wait, Shane, that's bullshit, okay? How can a high-def television be outdated? It's only a couple of years old. And if it does 1080i, that should be perfectly adequate. There's no excuse for this. It's stupid.
You can still play the game on your television.
It's as stupid as the PS3, which is ushering in the HD era, not coming with frickin' HD cables.
How many people can use an HDMI cable?
It doesn't even come with component cables. It comes with
a stupid yellow composite cable that my N64 and PS1 came with.
I made this discussion. The core Xbox 360 does not come with a component cable either.
Dude, you don't get to use the core as a comparison because it doesn't count as a system.
It doesn't count?
Not so much.
It will when it's $150 bucks.
It will then, but no one uses it as a jumping off point for discussion, really. Like, no one goes, well, it's really only $50 less because it's like,
what do they give you? They give you a component cable? They give you an HDMI cable? Well, what if, like... You want all those cables?
Here's
like,
the bottom line. We need to watch this thing with the resolution very closely because it's worrying to me that they aren't all over this. I really honestly thought it would be something like, they'd be like, oh, no big deal. We'll have it fixed, you know, like next week. It'll be boom. It'll be fixed. And the fact that it's not makes me go, what the hell?
PS3's only been out for 2 weeks, dude.
2 weeks or not? You're telling me they didn't realize that 720p games might be a problem with KDI sets?
They had an extra fucking year to think about it, Shane. Let's be realistic. Like, just because you've been out for 2 weeks doesn't mean that the rest of the competition went to the bathroom and sat on the toilet for a year and did jack and shit. And that's, like, endemic of the problem with, like, the network platform like you and Shu got into on EGM.
Exactly.
It's like, you don't get to come out a fucking year late and suck dick and go, just came out 2 weeks ago. You don't get to do that.
No,
that's not an acceptable excuse.
You can come out a year
late. You don't get to do that.
And you can offer the basic functionality for free that your competitor is offering for $50 a month.
The basic functionality? I'm sorry, I didn't realize they had that.
I didn't realize that I had a universal friends list on my PlayStation Network platform yet. I didn't realize that I had like a really great fucking voice chat system. I didn't realize I had any of that.
Well, you do have those things that function and they are free.
Really? So my resistance profile that I set up will be shared amongst all the other games that I play.
And your resistance controller works really well too.
Shane, that's a mighty big vein on the side of your forehead, dude.
Microsoft has issued...
He's like over it. He is so over it. It's fantastic.
Of course he's over it. His PS3 is in the fucking box in his closet. Microsoft issued...
Hey, but you know, when I hook that up, I can play online with my friends for free. Oh, I can't do that with an Xbox.
Oh, wait.
Oh, $4. Yeah, that's right. We don't pay him. John, do we not pay Shane?
Let's move on to the next topic.
That's a really good argument.
Microsoft has issued a patch for 1080p in their console to sort of let the VGA problems iron out a little bit.
You mean for movies, though, right, Luke?
So they were able to fix that very quickly.
But I mean, here's the thing. Like,
you mean over analog with movies, right?
They're able to fix it relatively quickly, but it's not... It's 1080p analog, and no one's going to use it. They're not. This is just keeping up with the Joneses.
But not really.
Not really.
What?
Shane's kind of right.
Why is it not?
The Xbox 360 cannot output a digital signal over HDMI So it does. It's
look again. Back to this. If you want to get into the video crap, go over to the AVS.
It's a boring fight.
Well, I'm not going to go to that. But you can't play games 1080p.
The only argument people have over the analog cable versus the digital is the amount of shielding.
Oh, give it a rest. It's really boring.
Microsoft, are they banning Xbox Live accounts for using the region loophole that would have let you, for instance, download Lost Planet earlier if you configured your Xbox Live to be Euro or something? They're not. One of the dudes from Microsoft said that we're not banning people for it, but they're going to start blocking downloads from other regions. Whether that means that if I import a Japanese Xbox, I could download Japanese
they're cheaper.
Exclusive downloads.
How are they going to do that?
They are cheaper.
Are they doing it by IP range?
Maybe. I don't know. They didn't. Microsoft doesn't give their secrets away, Garnet. Robbie Bach talked about Microsoft and price drops and Sony and the Xbox making money and explained basically what we've said before with why Microsoft didn't drop the price this year, because it's not important. They don't need to, because no matter what Sony puts in the retail channel, they're going to sell out. So it doesn't give them any sort of competitive advantage. So from that, you can sort of conjecture that Microsoft won't drop the price until Sony has enough units in the retail channel.
Well, if right now they're selling a reasonable number and they're actually making some money on the hardware for a change, what possible incentive do they have to drop the price except as a fuck you to Sony?
Right. But, well, and are they making a profit on the unit sales, which is something that, I mean, analysts are starting to speculate that the premium edition, and Garnet talked about it earlier, the premium edition of the Xbox 360 is indeed making allegedly $75 or so of profit. If that's the case, that's a pretty decent position to be going into when you have an extremely small, and I'm going to say their user base is extremely small at this point, an extremely small user base and a pretty okay software lineup going forward. As their software lineup's going to expand, if their software lineup's expanding, about the time they start to profit on systems, that's the right place.
So
to
the implication then that it's the margin on the hard drive? I mean, 20 gig hard drive is so cheap now.
Oh, God,
presumably a lot of the margin's
so
coming from that.
That's one of the places of savings. Another place that they showed a pronounced saving over the PS3 architecture is on the motherboard.
Really?
Which I thought was very interesting.
Well, the same firm, the analyst firm iSupply, they speculated that Sony was losing $300 per PS3, which, I mean, who knows?
Which jives with what we've heard from elsewhere. I've heard everything from between 200 and 300. 240 was a number that was kicked around last week that they were losing on every piece.
Well, and you know, it's kind of a weird number because one of the places where you see a lot of variation is in how much charge-off they hit them with for the Blu-ray diode and the Blu-ray system, because how much does that really cost anybody? We know that to the third parties who are building the Blu-ray players that cost more than PS3, it's costing them a lot. But obviously, where they're pricing PS3, Sony's giving themselves a very nice discount on Blu-ray hardware. So are they really losing that much money?
Halo 3, the beta, the first information came out today.
You were loving that, weren't you?
You know, I was...
Of course, it's cool.
Do you think you'd be one of the lucky people who gets to actually play it?
Well, it's not that. That's the misconception. The first couple stories that were published this morning misread the language of the press release and speculated that not everyone would be able to participate in the public beta. Well, the reality is, this first announcement is that Monday after the new CG trailer, and it's all CG, don't like, oh God, is Halo 3 going to look this good? It's not. This is a CG trailer. This is a 60-second.
Why show a CG trailer after you've already shown a gameplay asset?
They haven't shown. I mean, because this is something different. This is like, it's like we talked about in the Bungie show. This is some sort of weird live action CG hybrid.
Why spend tons of money to like advertise a game that comes out in a year when you have a really good game that's out now?
Because you have a movie that you're trying to get made ultimately in the background.
Good idea.
So this is a way to sort of promote that on the.
So it's more of like, you think of it more like a Halo brand trailer.
It is. That's the way to think of it.
It's not a Halo 3 trailer.
Well, this is going to be like, hey, Halo 3 is coming, but it's going to be.
It's more just like, hey,
also, there's other stuff in the Halo universe that we're going to be seeing sort of.
Halo Wars,
Peter Jackson stuff. But the Halo 3 beta.
Halo, the merchandising.
Halo3.com, which right now redirects to Bungie, on Monday night, that's going to be turned on, and it's going to be the first place you can sign up to be a part of the beta. And the beta, the public beta, this is the first way to get in. The language of the press release said you'll be like one of the select, you know, the select people who get through this part of the beta. Well, the reality is this isn't going to be the only way to get into the beta. Microsoft's going to use the beta and the public beta to keep reminding people like, hey, Halo 3 is coming. Here's how you can get involved. And it's my personal belief that you'll have a series of ways to get in for free, this being the first of those. And in the end, you'll ultimately have an opportunity to just pay for it to participate in the beta. And I think that that's probably the way that Microsoft will end up going.
Do you think they'll try and roll that shit on Shadowrun?
No.
No. if they try to get people...
Did you sign up for the... Everyone sign up for that? Do you sort of throw your name in the hat, basically, for Shadowrun, right?
I don't know that we want to talk about
I've played Shadowrun already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expressed my interest to Microsoft in participating in their beta and talking about it and promoting their game, and they told me, well, you're welcome to sign up if you'd like.
Yeah. Throw your name in the hat.
Yeah, it's...
So I guess that is exemplary of where they feel their game is currently.
Man, I wasn't going to go there. Capcom is tweaking the text for Lost Planet, which is something that... it's something I've warned people about, because I've played a ton of the game in preview code, and, like, preview on standard def was way
small.
Didn't
they say they couldn't fix Undead Rising?
Yeah, well, apparently if you bitch enough about something, they can fix it. Hey, EA, microtransactions.
Jerseys.
Speaking of microtransactions, Xbox Live Video Marketplace, which was announced at the end of November, is off to a bit of a shaky start because the download servers just can't handle the load. They can't handle all those people trying to download movies on the cheap.
Well, it's pretty impressive.
High def's a lot of data.
Yeah, can you imagine?
6 gigs to download a movie?
It takes about 7 to 8 hours to download
a movie. So for all the people talking crap on how well that, or how poorly that was going to go, they're actually blowing away Microsoft's projections because they don't have enough server bandwidth.
Maybe Microsoft's projections were
that doesn't necessarily mean that it was like a huge outcry of
like,
demand.
It could mean like Microsoft was like, yeah, we think like 8 or 9 people are going
to
do this.
Would they have gone to the trouble to do it?
Have you tried it?
No.
Mm-mm. I haven't tried it.
I think it's kind of expensive.
$6, 24 hours?
Yeah.
For a high-def movie?
Yeah.
What's Blockbuster charging now?
To rent a Blu-ray and HDVD?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not that much. And you don't get to keep this from, like, they still let you keep
it's
it.
It's 24 hours, right?
By the way, if you keep a Blockbuster rental, folks, they do actually charge you for that.
Yeah, but it doesn't take 8 hours.
Can't you take the store.
Does the clock start ticking from when the download is complete or when Reddit stops?
No, the way it stops is actually when you finish downloading the game, you have 2 weeks to watch it before it expires. But when you start watching the movie, then you have 24 hours to view it as many times as you want to. So if you can't get enough Talladega Nights in a 24-hour period, if you need to watch it 7 or 8 times, then...
I'm pretty sure that's a Columbia Pictures release, not available on Xbox 360.
Whatever. V for Vendetta.
Yeah, whatever.
That was the most popular thing downloaded.
I think ATL was up there, too.
No, but I think V for Vendetta was the number one download.
Yeah. That's what
I
heard.
Double Dragon is coming. The arcade version is coming to Xbox Live Arcade. And that would be a better thing that came to Xbox Live Arcade than my updated Texas Hold'em fucking retool this week.
Double Dragon's pretty awesome.
How much longer are they going to go with this giving you one retro game a week bullshit? I'm getting kind of tired of it.
Yeah, even Nintendo's giving us more than one retro game a week now.
They're going to have to start keeping up. Like, well, Nintendo said that they're giving...
Get into Joust 2 as the big Wednesday game, then I'm going to be kind of bored.
Well, I think that it's getting to the point where Microsoft needs to begin to differentiate themselves as far as what they're doing in online, because, like, they had their chance with Live Arcade. I think everyone at this point understands that they've pretty much squandered the opportunity that they had to be the leader in that format. And now the virtual console every week is supposed to have 1 to 3 games on Mondays. And it's like the answer to Xbox Live Wednesdays. And when you're getting like 3 like pretty decent classics on Monday, unless you're in America, then, you know, and you're getting fucking an update to poker on Wednesday. I mean, somewhere the ball is dropping and someone's nuts are going to get cut off.
What's the deal with the update to poker, by the way? You've pimped that twice now.
I
didn't read the story.
No, I don't have a story here. I just wrote updated Texas Hold'em this week in light of Double Dragon.
The one that they gave away for free, so now if you got it for free, the game that was originally going to be free, that was only free for 48 hours if you got it at the right time, has now been surpassed by the real version that you have to pay for?
I don't know. I saw in the press release... game, like, updated version of... I was like, don't care. Double Dragon, though, as far as what they should be doing, like, those, like arcade games of that vintage, like Double Dragon...
You gonna get your Mad Cats controller on?
Shinobi, maybe.
They should do more brawlers, more of those, like, co-op...
The one we were talking
brawlers.
About the other day? Shadow Dancer.
Yeah, Shadow Dancer, that. The one with the wolf.
Yeah.
Yes, do that. Get that one. That white one. That one over there. Speaking of downloadable content, Rare is admittedly skeptical on how they're going to participate with downloadable content.
When they have
Pinata.
The game, that should be like the perfect tie-in.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, and another reason that Viva Pinata would be a great opportunity for downloadable content is because you only paid $49 for it. You paid $50 for it. So you've got, like, inherent wiggle room versus what you're used to. So Rare could actually justify the first $10 to be like, hey, we could have priced it at $60 like Microsoft does other first-party titles like Gears of War.
Speaking of Gears of War, where's that downloadable content?
Well, the remember, the downloadable content window is specified in the first 30 days days, and again the second batch in the first 90 days, which is how Microsoft wants to do it. So we're coming up on the first 30 days, what, next week?
Yep.
So maybe next week would be the week that we... I mean, if you're following the Microsoft standards and you think that they want to with Gears of War, you'd expect to see Gears of War content
coming next week. Their best-selling first-party game.
So, Cliffy, go ahead and give us a shout. Let us know what's coming, and we'll get it up there on the front page of 1UP.
That's it, man. I can't hit any more kids with all that.
That was a huge load.
That was a tremendous load.
There's some gagging.
Oh.
All right, so we're all spent, obviously. We'll give you guys...
Look at Skip.
Skip's so done. So done. He's got his hands out of his head mostly.
Man, I'm gonna go make you a sandwich and come back and we can cuddle.
We're all so sorry.
Jesus.
But I promise you, we will spend the rest of the weekend looking at the message board, seeing what's going on with you guys. So until next week, you have plenty of time to reach us, and we're out.